Good morning. We can do a little bit better. Good morning. I am honored that I get to share with you from God's Word today and talk about our great Redeemer. I'm here to just share with you Jesus Christ. I'm excited about what I get to share. I'd like for you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. I do want to say to Dr. Helms, thank you for that wonderful introduction. You were way too kind. I have been the pastor at Hunter Street for 29 years, but the big deal is they don't want a pastor, and I'm the nearest to nothing they can find, so they let me stay. Hunter Street is a wonderful group of people. My wife grew up there. It is my joy to be able to pour my life into those people, but more than anything else, I love them, and they love me. And they've been praying for us as we gather today. Luke chapter 5 is a very familiar passage. As you look over it, you're going to go, well, this is stuff I already know, and no doubt you do. But sometimes when we come to a familiar passage of Scripture, we just kind of run through it. After all, everybody in this room, you are familiar with the calling of the disciples there by the Sea of Galilee. How Peter and James and John were called to be fishers of men. In fact, as I look out, all of you have experienced that very same call. But I hope today that you'll be encouraged, because that's what I want to do. I want to encourage you from God's Word. And if you are able to stand and willing to stand, will you please stand for the public reading of Scripture? Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and the nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I want you to know where I'm headed. I want you to see what this passage is truly all about. Two things that I want you to see from this passage, and I want you to make it personal. I want you to see that Jesus is Lord of my world, and his kingdom is worthy of my life. Jesus is Lord of my world, and his kingdom is worthy of my life. Don't be afraid. You will become a fisher of men. You will be catching others with this gospel. I want you to be encouraged today. I've gotten to speak here one other time about 7 or 8 years ago, and I'm always aware of, preaching, and this makes me very nervous to preach in this chapel, and just what people may think or say. The good news is I have the great gift of forgetfulness, and I hardly remember anything that anybody has ever said to me after a sermon, and that's good. A few years ago, a lady who's heard me preach for 20 years, Betty Raspberry at Hunter Street, came up, and she was just overjoyed, and she hugged me, and God, I think, had spoken to her that day. But this is what this woman said: "Oh, Brother Buddy, every sermon you preach is better than the next one." Think about that for a minute. We have been on a steady decline, I guess, for 20 years. I remember Betty, And then about 8 years ago, when I had the joy of preaching here, I stood outside with Dr. Moeller, and people were shaking hands. But there was one young man in his mid-30s that waited till everybody left. And there was nobody in the foyer but this young man and me. And he came over and he said, "I don't really like to go to chapels much." And I said, "Well, why is that?" He said, "Because they always get big name preachers, and I can't preach like those guys." He said, "I'm not from the South, so I don't have that Southern kind of gospel presentation." And he said, "I went online and I looked up your church, and it was a big church, and I figured it'd be more the same, but I got over here anyway." And then he said, "I'm so glad that I came." I said, "Why is that?" And he said, "All you did was open up the Bible, go line by line, and point people to Jesus." "Yes." He said, "But that's all you did." I said, "That's all I ever do." And then a smile went across his face, and he said, "Well, I can do that." And I said, "Yes, you can." And I would put my arms around him and praying for him that he would be faithful to the word and only point people to Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do today. I want to point you to Jesus Christ, and I want you to be encouraged. I want you to see that Jesus is Lord of your world and that his kingdom is worthy of your life. Because when we open up God's word, sometimes we think that the Bible is just a theology book. Oh, yes, all good theology comes from the Bible. But Luke's purpose in the gospel is not to teach us a theology lesson. It's to introduce us to Jesus Christ. I want to remind you today and encourage you today about who Jesus Christ is. Jesus is the Lord of your world. Now, let's be honest. All of us have gone through times where we feel a little bit detached from the Lord. In fact, we think that he is detached from us. We think that we live in the real world, maybe being a professor, a student, and most of you have other jobs, you're a parent, your mom, you're a dad. You've got so many things going on, and somehow or another you think, well, that's the real world, and then I have my little seminary life, and I have my church life. I want you to know that Jesus is Lord of all of your world. But let's be honest, sometimes we like it like that, don't we? Don't we like it sometimes when we can compartmentalize our lives and we have our student life and we have our church life and our professor life and every other little box that we can put our life in? Because it helps us. It helps us because we think that Jesus is not that concerned about what's going on in the real world. Well, let me walk you through here. Look at the scene. Jesus is going to make sure that we and Simon Peter understand the scope of his rule, that he is Lord of everything. Jesus is teaching the word of God. He is by the Lake Gennesaret, also called the Sea of Galilee. It's a freshwater lake. It's a big one. I've been there a couple of times. It's about 8 miles long, 14 miles wide. Freshwater fish, lots of fish there. I got to eat some fish that were caught there. But as Jesus is teaching, a crowd comes. And they have been very impressed with him, Luke says. They've been impressed by his teaching because he teaches as one who has authority. He's not quoting anybody else. He is teaching the very word and words of God. Then he says that there are some fishermen there who have beached their boats. And they're taking care of business in their little world. They've been out all night and now they are washing and mending their nets. They're stowing everything away so they can go out again that night. Because you fish at night on this freshwater lake. It's too hot during the day. But at night, the fish will come up and feed, and that's when these guys know you go fishing. Well, the crowd comes. Some have heard that Jesus is there. I think some are just coming to buy fish. But when they hear that Jesus is there, they begin to press in on him. It gets so tight that Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Let me get in your boat and push out from the shore a little bit." Very practical thing Jesus does. He wants to be able to get away and have kind of a natural amphitheater. Visually, he'll be able to see everybody. Acoustically, they'll be able to hear. But more importantly, by this little act, Jesus almost unnoticeably took a step into Simon Peter's world. Well, Jesus continues to teach. Simon Peter is now a captive audience, but he doesn't seem to mind. After all, he knew Jesus. When you go through the accounts, you'll find out that Peter and James and John had been around Jesus, listening to Jesus, somewhat of a follower for about a year. In fact, in the Luke account, what you find out is earlier, we don't know exactly how much earlier, but sometime earlier, Jesus had come to Capernaum and preached in the synagogue. He had cast out demons in that synagogue. He had gone to Simon Peter's house that afternoon. Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a fever. Jesus healed her. She was able to rise and serve them. And then that night, people came from all over so that they could be healed, or perhaps demons could be cast out of them. Well, when Jesus finished teaching and the crowd begins to scatter, it gets very interesting, because Jesus now looks at Simon Peter. Up to this point, I want you to catch what's going on. Jesus has been a guest in Simon Peter's world. He's been a guest in that little bitty boat. Simon allowed him to use the boat, and yet Simon was still in charge. He had pushed out. He knew how to operate everything on the boat. After all, Simon Peter was the expert of his world and this boat. But then Jesus pushes him a little bit. Notice what he says in verse 4, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." Now, Simon knows he's the fisherman, and this is just a carpenter and the son of a carpenter. Simon knows that he's been fishing all night long, and that's when you catch fish, not now that it's almost noon. So Simon objects gently, "Master, we've toiled all night. We've took nothing." He's reminding Jesus, "This is my world. I'm the expert here. Leave this to me. I don't really want to follow the request of a carpenter. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. We've worked hard. We've came up with nothing. We have washed and mended the nets. We've stowed everything away. And now I just want to get a bite to eat, go home, and rest." But Simon Peter is a nice guy. He believes in this teacher. So I think in his mind, he humors him a little bit. And he says, "But at your word, I'm going to push out further, and we're going to let down these nets." Aggravated, but compliant. And then this is when this story gets so amazing. As they are dropping this huge net that they would use, and then they would have to laboriously pull it in and drop it. They had done that all night. But as soon as they drop the net, I can imagine that as they begin to pull, the ropes come alive. Things begin to happen, and they understand that something amazing. There's so many fish that they have to call, "Please come and help us. James and John, my partners, come and help us," because the nets are breaking. And I can only imagine as they pull up the net and all these fish are shining in the water, and they're flapping all over the place, and they're just pulling them in the boat almost like coins when you hit the jackpot. In fact, I think that may be what they were thinking. We have struck it rich. The boats begin to sink. I've been to the museum there by the Sea of Galilee, and these boats were not that tiny. About 27 feet long, about 7.5 feet wide, 4.5 feet deep. And these boats were very sturdy. And these boats were filled to the point of sinking. So my question is, this is the story so far, what's going on? It is amazing sometimes when people look at this passage, they don't see the good news of Jesus, they see good advice. I've heard sermons preached on this, how to rebound from failure. Oh, you've struck out during the night. So what you do is you get ready, you mend the nets, you get Jesus in your boat, you follow him a little bit, and basically the message is good advice. Yeah, get ready, have Jesus with you. Absolutely, that's good advice, but I'm not so sure that that's, in fact, I am sure that's not what's being taught here. Trust Jesus and get fish. Almost like Simon Peter's pulling all these fish in, and he's thinking, "Well, you know, this is a great haul. I'll start a restaurant, Captain P's. Maybe that'll work." Or maybe he's pulling this stuff in, and he goes, "I'm going to write a book. Your best catch now. Man, I can make a killing off of this." Now, I want you to think with me for a minute when you hear stuff like that. I think it's offensive to the gospel when we make this something that it's not. When they get to shore and they leave everything, they leave their boats, they leave their families, they leave everything to follow Jesus. Do you really think it was follow Jesus, get fish? No. Jesus is revealing that he is Lord over all. He's even Lord over their world. And Peter is astonished. He falls at the knees of Jesus. He realizes that he is not worthy to be in the same boat with Jesus. And he says, Jesus, leave, depart from me, for I am a sinful, sinful man. Notice what Peter calls him. He doesn't say, this is Jesus, the great fish finder. He doesn't say that this is Jesus, the multitude magnet. He does not say Jesus, the rabbi, even. He calls him Lord. Peter knew fishing, and he knew what this miracle meant. He is in the presence of God himself, the sovereign God, the God that rules the world and the God that rules his world. Think with me for a minute. He was not struck with awe, nor was he that much aware of his unworthiness before. In the synagogue, when Jesus cast out those demons, Simon Peter is there, but he was not possessed. And in his mind, he could be thinking, I'm glad that Jesus straightened out those crazy people. They go home, and Jesus heals his mother-in-law, and I think that was good. And it made for a better home life for Simon Peter. But Peter wasn't sick. He was tough and strong. He was a fisherman. See, it's one thing for Jesus to be Lord at the synagogue, or even Lord in the middle of a bunch of sick people. But this is different because now Jesus is Lord of Simon Peter's world. And right in the middle of this, he is suddenly confronted with the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. That this Jesus is truly God in the flesh. That this Jesus is strong and mighty and more glorious than he ever thought imaginable. We're much like Simon Peter. We compartmentalize our lives. Oh, we come to chapel and we go to our classes and we teach our students. And we have compartmentalized our life. But God is not impressed with our compartmentalization. When we call him Father and ask for mercy, but we don't grant mercy to those who, at home who call us Father. Jesus is not content to be put on a shelf and to be brought to class or to be brought to church. It's not enough to say, Jesus, I love you, when you are unwilling to show love for your spouse at home. There's an old saying that says, Jesus will be Lord of all or not Lord at all. And here he says, I am Lord of your world, Simon Peter. Simon Peter is overwhelmed. As you read this, one of the things that has to go through your mind is this is a lot like what happened to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah has that heavenly vision, and he looks and he sees the Lord high and lifted up, and he becomes very aware of his own sin. He sees the glory of the Lord, and yet he sees that he is unclean and he lives in the midst of unclean people. Simon Peter sees Jesus in the boat, and he saw that his world was filled with the glory of God. And his response is, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He was humbled, as we should be, because he saw that Jesus is Lord of his world. There is humility. There is an awareness of sin that will cause us to worship. When we see the greatness of Jesus Christ and who he truly is, the closer that we draw to him, the more we see our own sinfulness. But we don't run from him. We begin to cling to him because we realize that he is the one that cleanses us. He is the one that restores us. He is the one that calls us, and he is the one that called you. Do you see that after this confession, there is this commission? When you see who Jesus is, he's the Lord of my life, and I am weak, and I am a sinner, but I will cling to him. Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be catching men. My kingdom is worthy of your life. When you read the Matthew and the Mark account, it seems as if this was almost an abrupt calling. The first disciples are there, they're fishing, and they leave everything immediately, and it seems almost impulsive or even irresponsible. But Jesus was not a total stranger. As we've said, I think that they had been somewhat following him for a year. Jesus had revealed a great deal about himself already. And Simon Peter had come to believe in Jesus. That's why he said, there's no problem with this man using my boat. But the Lord was not done, not finished with Simon Peter. In fact, he was only just beginning. For he knew that his kingdom was worthy of Peter's whole life. Not just his boat, not just his admiration, not just this momentary time of worship, but Simon Peter, I'm worthy of your whole life. Once again, in a sense, that's what happened to Isaiah. Isaiah saw the vision of the Lord and he was humbled into dust. But God was not content just for him to be humbled, not just for him to be cleansed of sin, but he wanted Isaiah's whole life in service. And when God said to Isaiah, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Of course, Isaiah jumps up and says, here am I, send me. In a very similar way, Simon Peter heard the Lord. He heard the Lord say, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. And Simon Peter says, this is the Lord of everything, and he is the Lord of my life, and here am I. I will follow you. Peter had come to understand that the kingdom of Jesus Christ and Christ himself is worthy of his whole life. As I look out this morning, many of you give this testimony in your life, and I just want to encourage you, because you saw that Jesus Christ was not just Lord of everything, but he's Lord in your life. And you have seen that the kingdom and all that that means is worthy of you coming and training and preparing and giving your life. I want you to be encouraged today. The call that you have experienced is a call that is extended to every disciple. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. But is it amazing how God enters your world and calls you into his world? He knows you and he meets you exactly where you are. To Simon Peter, he says, oh, you'll be fisher of men. Simon understood that. But God meets all of us in our world. To the one who's a builder, he says, you come and follow me and you'll build my house. To the one who's a scholar, he says, you come and follow me and you'll learn and teach my truth. To the parent, he says, you come and follow me and you will nurture my children. To the farmer, he says, come and follow me and you'll work in my field and tend my flock. See, whatever your vocation is in this world, Jesus comes and he calls you in terms that you will understand. Given the responsibilities and the gifts that you have, he meets you exactly where you are and he says, follow me. And my kingdom is worthy of your whole life. Well, Peter and the others who had participated in this catch leave everything. They left the greatest catch that they had seen in their whole lives. But the catch was not what was important. It only showed who Jesus was. And they realize that this really is God in the flesh, the sovereign Messiah. And just getting a glimpse of his power and glory, they said, this man is worthy for me to follow. In fact, he proved to be far more than just a man. Oh, a man, but fully God as well. See, I think the Lord preserved this account in his word, not only so we could learn about the experience of Simon Peter, but that we might be in awe of Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, the God who gave his life for us and rose again victoriously, that we might leave everything and follow him, that we might understand that his kingdom is worthy of our lives. He says, from now on, you're different now. You see who I am. You understand this kingdom. From now on, you will make disciples, not out of fear, but out of knowing me personally. I want to encourage you, in all of your studies and all that you do, never lose sight of Jesus. Be one that people may not be impressed with you or your teaching or your preaching, but they can say, all he or she did was look at the word and point me to Jesus. I want to encourage you to know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your world, and that he and his kingdom are worthy of your life. Jesus calls all of us. He says, if anybody will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Oh, it sounds costly. And in light of successes that you may have enjoyed in your life or even enjoying now, it's costly. These men could have said, this is what we've always waited for, this great catch. But that was not to be. They'd heard the call of Jesus. And yes, the call of Jesus demands everything, but it's only because he has already given everything himself. Jesus Christ comes and he says, I don't count equality with God something to be grasped. He is the one that takes on as a human being, coming in the form of a servant, and he's willing to die, joyfully giving his life for those that the Father has picked and the Son is dying for and the Spirit's going to regenerate. He says, yes. Wow. What kind of man is this Jesus? I said Luke wrote so that we might know him, we might know Jesus. Oh, he's a teacher, absolutely. But he did not just announce some theology. He pronounced the good news to sinners like us. And he has shown us the love of the Father, and that while we were still sinners, he died for us. And the good news is a delight for all of us who need to hear that we have a Savior. So Jesus Christ climbs into this boat. He dares to tell Simon Peter how to fish. And he shows himself as the Lord of Simon's world. And then he calls Simon Peter into his world. Pursue me and my kingdom. Some of you are very busy. In fact, everybody I know is busier than they've ever been. But I encourage you to enjoy every moment, enjoy every class, enjoy everything that God gives you with the understanding that he is Lord of this moment, this second. He is the Lord of my world. He has met me where I am. He has called me, and his kingdom is worthy of everything. To God be the glory. Let me pray together. Oh, Lord, we have heard this story many times. Help us not to miss out on your claim of lordship in our lives. Lord, thank you for showing us that we are sinful and need of a Savior. Thank you for calling us not only to yourself, but calling us to know you, to enjoy you, and to let others hear of this good news. Oh, Lord, we're thankful. And may we pursue you and pursue your kingdom. May we be people who see your hand in our lives, all of our lives. And Father, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do, even in people like us, unworthy and yet called by you. You will receive all the honor, all the praise, all the glory. And Father, let us always glorify you and find our satisfaction in you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.